Jeff Hardy went to SummerSlam. He was looking to make some cash. He was in a bind because he's way behind. Vince wouldn't let him smoke a stash. Then he came upon this young man that he thought could take his spot. And Hardy jumped up on a turnbuckle and he said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I bet you didn't know it, but I smoke dope by the batch. And if you turn heel, we'll make a deal and I will throw this match. Now, being a wrestling champion, boy, is pretty good, it's true. But I'd rather sit on my ass, smoke some grass, and give this belt to you." The boy said, "My name's Punk, and I'd say I agree. I'll take your belt, I've always felt the straight edge laughs for me. CM, you can't help it, Jeff is missing chromosomes. He's going back to Georgia and his burn-up mobile home. And if you win, you get this shiny belt made of gold. And when Jeff loses, he gets to smoke a bowl." Hardy put on his makeup and he said, "I'll start the show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he cleaned resin from his bowl. Then Punk came out and all the crowd made an evil hiss. Then Jeff recited poetry and it sounded something like this. "I like flowers. I like trees. I miss my dog. When Hardy finished, Punk said, "I guess this all's been fun, but if you lay down in that ring right there, we can get this deal done. Fire up your bong, you redneck bum. Jeff's hooked on drugs, his career is done. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Bad influence on the stereo."
My favorite part.
Jeff Hardy smiled. Why? Because he knew that he'd been beat. And now he could smoke dope until he couldn't feel his feet. Vince said, "Just come on back if you ever want to wrestle here." Hardy said, "You son of a bitch, I'll be dead within a year. Fire up your bomb, you redneck bum. Jeff's hooked on drugs, his career is done. Picking out dough, chicken in a bread pan.
Here's some of it.
Smoke more dope than Rob Van Dam. Huh. Talk straight and you'll ruin your career and lose a lot of money. Doo-doo.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went, "All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober."
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
All right, thank you very much. Online World of Wrestling, OWW Genesis. This is OWW Radio. I am Nick Anthony on the fourth, broadcasting from Los Angeles, California, man. You're tuned into the best wrestling talk on the air. We're online. World of Wrestling gets its latest news. We're legends and fans come together. With that said, I want to hear from you. Whether you're Raw, ECW Superstars, or SmackDown viewer, what about TNA Impact, Ring of Honor, and of course the Indies? We talked them all, including MMA, man. Your opinion counts, and we made it simple for you at our toll-free telephone number at 866-543-OWW0. That's 1-866-543-6990. Or you can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. That's radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. What's up, Dave? Caveman Cave joins us right now. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Nick, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, man. Also, Aaron Kendrick's on the line. What's up, Aaron?
How much, man? Good to be back.
Yeah, man. Dave, I heard you got a new corporate job coming up here, man. What's up with that?
It's actually doing, like, sales and marketing for Buck Distributing.
For what now?
For Buck Distributing. They're a beer distributor in Maryland.
Oh, sweet. When do you start?
I'm already, like, doing the, they call it the orientation.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got to do these classes and stuff, and then I guess I'll start going to stores.
I can't picture you being corporate, man. Imagine that dude Chong from Cheech and Chong without that dirty beard, and you got Dave. Like, can you see Chong corporate material?
No, I didn't want this actually, but I can't not take it. So,
what company is it again? Buck, you said?
Yeah, Buck Distributing.
Buck Distributing. So it's basically a sales gig with marketing. So you're like the Billy Mays type, right? You're the Billy Tapes. You're the pitch man.
Kinda, yeah.
Hi, Billy Mays here for OxiClean.
I don't think I'll be as good as him.
Well, okay. What's your pitch? How are you planning on doing it? Pitch us here on OWW Radio.
Well, I don't really have to pitch anything. It's like going to accounts, you know, and taking their orders for beer for what they need.
Oh, so you're not selling anything.
Just like I am, but it's like I'm just like the go-between between the stores and Buck.
Oh, so somebody already sells them, and you just go there and you take their orders, basically.
Well, I actually, you know, if there's new products coming out, I'll try to push that on them.
Mm. So give us a pitch. Pitch us on something.
Oh man, I don't know how to do that.
Okay.
Probably not gonna be very good at that.
But no kidding. It's your job to be the Billy Mays, and you're not doing it. Okay, pitch us on the new product. Pitch us on the beer. Okay, say we're like one of the stores down the corner, and you go to the store, and you're pitching us on this new product.
Well, I would basically do it the way it was done to me when I was a beer manager at Edgewater.
All right.
And I just basically go in. You have the paperwork, you know, with the product description and what it's like, you know.
Hi, Billy Mays here for OxiClean.
Like, you do that? Hi, I'm Dave.
I don't have to do that.
I'm Dave Cave with OxiClean, or with Budweiser, right?
Well, it would be actually Miller.
Oh. All right, go for it. Pitch us.
I don't have to do that. I got paperwork. It's all right on the paperwork. I just have to ask them if they would, like, you know, hey, I don't know if you're interested or not, but we got this coming out, and then hand them the paperwork and let them read over it, and then, you know, tell them what they have, what the deals are on it, and how much they have to buy to get the best price, and then hopefully they'll say, all right, well, yeah, we'll try 10 cases of that.
Is that other dude, what's that other dude's name who was with Billy Mays?
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
Anthony something or other, I guess. I don't know. But what's he up to? Isn't he just as successful as Billy Mays? But nobody ever talks about him.
Yeah, they made it sound like that on that show Pitchman.
Yeah.
They always made it seem like he was as successful, but I never saw him nearly as much as Billy Mays.
Man, nobody ever talks about him.
Oh.
Yeah. What's up with you, Aaron? I haven't heard from you. Are you getting your internet service back or what?
Yeah, it turns out, you know, like, I thought we just didn't have internet connection out there because of our stupid service or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was partially their fault because we had a storm a while back, and apparently that knocked something out in our computer, and so they just shut us off. Like, they didn't send us any notice or anything about our internet not working. They just quit sending us bills.
All right, so when are you planning on getting your internet back?
My dad went up to the office today and took the computer up there to get fixed.
We had a storm, and it actually fried it fried the thing inside my computer, the Ethernet card.
Well, aren't you supposed to use like a strip that you're supposed to use? Yeah, a surge strip to put into your wall before you do it.
My dad actually just said that we were going to start using that.
Yeah, I got all my equipment
here. Well, I use them,
too.
But the thing about those is, unless you buy the really good ones for like $70 a pop, the first time there's a big storm and you get a surge, it blows a fuse inside the strip, and it's no longer good for protection.
Well,
so you
have
to go buy a new one.
Those
You're supposed to replace them like once a year.
Yeah, but those things, you can get at like Thrifties or I don't know, the Pick and Go, if it's Aaron's neck of the woods. You can get those things for like $10.
Oh, yeah, you can find them in, I think Best Buy has them for $7 if you want to get the real cheap one.
Yeah, or...
It'll work for a one-time shot, you know.
Miles.
Yeah, or you can, late-night TV, all these pitchmen, they sell all type of different crap on there. All right, what are we doing today? What are we talking about here? Let's see. Dan Hodge is coming on the show. Danny Hodge coming on the show tonight. Expect him in our second hour of OWW. You guys remember Dan Hodge, don't you?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be excellent.
Yeah,
he
was
a
dominant athlete in almost everything he did. I'm excited that he's going to come on with us here on OWW Radio, Bad. He was a boxer, wrestler, you name it. He pretty much dominated everything. We'll talk to him. Also on the show, Robert and Pam Allen, The Sully Chronicles, man. It's a new book out about the great Gordon Sully. Pam is the daughter of Gordon, and Robert, her husband, along with another, authored the book, the Sully Chronicles. We'll talk about Gordon Sully and the Chronicles with his offspring and her mate coming up shortly here in this hour. Of course, Dave Caveman Cave joins us here. Also, Aaron Kendrick with the match of the week. My take on Jeff Hardy leaving the WWE, plus a call from New Jack. We got a ton of emails involving this Jeff Hardy incident that happened on Friday when he got arrested up in North Carolina. So we'll talk about that a little bit as well. Let's see. And New Jack. New Jack sent in a voicemail on the 866-543-OWW0 number. He sent a voicemail, and I'm going to play it here. It's freaking hilarious how he goes off on everybody in the media talking about Jeff Hardy. He basically said, move on, forget it. People get arrested all the time, and how we can jump on his back. But we'll get through that. I will play it in the next segment when I go over the Jeff Hardy comments. 866-543-6990, 866-543-6990. We'll take a quick break, come back with Jeff Hardy here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bluxest, All Time Polls, What If, Pharaoh Foul, even an e-fed called Takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's the gold standard. Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
It's like, I don't care about nothing, man. Roll another blunt. Yeah. Okay.
Nick Anthony.
All right, 866-543-6990, 866-543-6990, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. All right, we got this voicemail from New Jack. Of course, New Jack, professional wrestler, fame in the ECW, among other places. He sent this voicemail involving the Jeff Hardy topic. Maybe some of you guys, well, of course, you guys on OWW Genesis heard it. but you other listeners of OWW Radio hasn't heard it. But I'm going to play it right here. What did you think of it, Dave, when you first heard it, man?
I was actually, first and foremost, I was shocked that he called in and left a voicemail.
Yeah.
But secondly, I don't know. I mean, he's a funny guy, you know.
Yeah.
Just the way he's completely new jack and saying what he said. But I guess, in a way, I kind of agree with him. I mean, this happens all the time in this business, you know.
Yeah.
People getting arrested for this and that, and you look at Angle and, you know, everybody else.
But what about what
I
he
guess
said
in a way,
about?
I mean,
what about what he said about he used to he drinks and drive all the time. He just never gets caught and things like that. I'm like, jeez, why would he say
that?
I
didn't care for that. Me and my wife were listening to it at the same time. As soon as he said that, she's like, idiot.
Yeah, what an idiot. Why would he say something like that? We tried to get him on the line to talk. Maybe we'll get him someday. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with it. But
yeah, it'd be cool to have him on.
Yeah, it would be. I'm gonna play it right now. You guys ready?
Ready.
Hey, this is New Jack. I just got an email about Jeff Hardy. Dude. Whoever put that shit out there, you know what I'm saying? I don't know why they sent it to me, but so fucking what? He got arrested. So what? So fucking what? He got arrested. Do you know how many people in wrestling has been arrested? Do you know how many people in this business has went to jail for simple, stupid shit? Okay, molesting kids and you know, underage and touching on people they ain't got no business touching on, and drugs and drinking and this and that and what the fuck ever. I think even the owner was once even indicted on some shit, then go, yeah, but so fucking what? I mean, I don't even got to sit there and call name about all the motherfuckers that I know in this business done went to jail before, because it's always been a goddamn secret. Everybody don't want nobody to know. But I done went to jail more motherfucking times than any 10 people combined. So he went to jail. So fucking what? And if he got fired for that shit, I don't fucking know, because I don't watch that bullshit. But so what? So what? My answer to Jeff going to jail is so fucking what? He's only goddamn human. I drink and drive every fucking weekend. I just don't get caught because I take shortcuts. Go to back road next time, Jeff, if that's what you got locked up for. Good luck, bro. Keep your head up and go to the next fucking company. I guess your next gimmick will be the drunk Jeff Hardy dude. That'll probably go over. Y'all are bored. He went to jail. So fucking what?
Next time, Jeff, take your dick out and smack him at your side of the head. Leave you alone.
What does that got to do with anything?
Oh, and you can hit me back. I don't give a fuck. Hit me back on Facebook or New Jack Uncut, which is MySpace. I don't give a fuck. I'll come on the radio and say this shit again. So fucking what? He went to jail. So what? Leave him the fuck alone. Cocksucker.
Yeah. That's how he finishes the conversation, man. Wow. I'm just shocked that he told us that he drinks or drives while drinking every weekend. He just doesn't get caught.
Yeah, that's something.
Nick, I'm begging you to play the Metallica So What song right now.
You know, my whole problem with Jeff Hardy, or it's not even a problem, really. But the timing that all this took taking place, I have two, I guess, a lot of people call it conspiracy theories on the out of the producers. But it's my opinion, and I'm going to stand behind it. You fans who continue to praise him as though it's just a slap on the wrist, then we can just move on. Although I know we all will move on from this, but it's my opinion that you guys have been corrupted, or the Jeff Hardy fans have been corrupted, both by the WWE and Hardy. I call you guys sheep. That's what I like to call you, because it's basically what you are, sheep. You guys cheered and supported this man for the better part of 10 years, give or take. I don't know what the hell it was, whatever. The Hardy fans on OWW Genesis were livid over the name Crack Hardy when Daniel came up with that a while back. Remember that, guys?
Yeah, dude.
The WWE exploited his abuses in almost every angle he was in when he went solo. Remember recently the CM Punk feud that was so dead on Hardy, dead on the WWE fans, and moreover our current society. When we have a current generation who applauds taking of drugs, we have a problem. And the WWE made it known at Night of Champions, man. Woo. Have you guys seen that Hardy show? You guys seen that with Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, and what's that other dude's name? Moore. Shannon Moore. Shannon Moore. Where the hell is he at?
I haven't seen that. Where is it?
I don't know. The Hardy Show. It's a show they do on the internet.
I've seen it once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, but this thing is full of drinking. Full of drinking, all
what's
around craziness. You seen it, Aaron?
No. What's it about?
It's just about them drinking. Doing foolishness.
Yeah, they basically just stand around and laugh and talk and drink.
They drink for the hell of it. That, in my book, is an abuser, don't you? Don't you agree? That's in your book, isn't that an abuser?
If you're doing it just to get ripped all the time, you know, I guess.
Yeah, someone who can't say no, that's for sure. That's an alcoholic.
Something New Jack knows about.
For the WWE to openly know about this man and continue to employ him and push him, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm saying it harmed him and it harmed the WWE landscape. It's fans. It's viewership. Just think about it. Jeff is on the top of his game. On the top in a promotion in a competitive sport where athletes compete back and forth. On spots. Not in the ring, on spots in the promotion, in the company. Yet he decides out of the blue to hang up his boots for a while. Reports say that he had other ventures. Like he wanted to go sing in some band or something. He was starting some band.
His band sucks.
He wanted to be on some television program or a reality show.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the guy legit is hurting, you know? Maybe he just wants some time off to get healed up.
I figure one of two things happened here. And this is where people are saying that I have some type of conspiracy theory. One, Jeff took the drugs, whatever they were, he took them. He knew he was going to get his third strike on that that wellness policy from the WWE. So he decided, well, I better come up with some way out of this problem so I won't be blasted and fired publicly. So he decided, all right, I'm going to take some type of vacation or whatever. That's one. Number two, the WWE knew that Jeff Hardy was in violation of the wellness policy. And without any other way out of a bad situation, they scrambled to send Hardy on his way. They knew so much money was on the line that they couldn't allow one of their golden boys to receive his third strike. Third strike meaning that the company termination and that wasn't an option for WWE, not with the money that can be made by Hardy. So I guess their logic may have been what was reported on the forum, OWW Genesis, by someone. Let him get clean for a while. Let him go and let him get clean for a while. Write him off the different shows, the pay-per-views, whatever. Make it seem he needs a vacation or something to that effect. Then we can bring him back, still with two strikes, but clean and sober for the time being. I wouldn't be surprised if one of these actions, my quote-unquote conspiracy theories, were taken by the WWE, or Jeff Hardy for that matter. Is it so hard to believe? I certainly don't think so. It's not like an out-of-company medical facilitator enforcing these wellness policies, are they? It's my opinion that Jeff Hardy knew and or the WWE knew of this latest abuses of the wellness policy. They didn't want this third strike for Jeff Hardy. That's my opinion. I want to hear yours. 866-543-6990. 866-543-6990 or radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. What do you think, Dave? You think the fans have been corrupted by Jeff Hardy and WWE? What about me calling them sheep?
You know, I don't like or dislike Hardy as a wrestler.
Yeah.
As a person, I hate to see what he's going through. I think he needs to get clean and get off the stuff. But, you know, I would feel that way about anybody. As far as the fans, I don't know if they've been misled or not. I mean, I think it's ironic the angle they came up with CM Punk and him.
Yeah.
How now that everything's played out the way it has, you know, I don't know. I mean, the fans are going to like who they like, and if I don't think the WWE would specifically push somebody they thought was a bad influence or somebody who's going to represent them in a negative light on the fans the way they pushed Hardy.
As long as this wrestler is making money for the WWE, they can care less what's going on in his personal life.
Well, I agree, but if I don't think they want a negative image on themselves, regardless of it, because in the long run, it's going to take money from them in the long run if they produce a negative light on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that they necessarily knew the depth of what Hardy was into. But you know, I could be completely wrong on that too. I mean, I don't know.
Aaron, what about you?
I just think it's ironic that it panned out the way it did with that CM Punk angle.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you talk about your so-called conspiracy whatever
theories,
people started calling it, I completely agree with you, Nick. I don't know how long it took you to sit in a dark room and think that story up, but it makes sense.
All right, with that said, I got some emails involving the situation, so let's go to the email bag. Radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. That's where you can send your emails each and every week for OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
Emails.
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 All right, this email from Leland Jones. Just got the email from Facebook, and I would like to say my opinion. I admit that I do enjoy watching Jeff Hardy. I do feel I have mixed feelings regarding this situation, but for me, the biggest question in all of this is the WWE welfare policy. Called it the welfare policy. Was Jeff Hardy ever tested? Do the wrestlers know in advance when the drug testing takes place? Did WWE feel that because Jeff was a money-making machine for the WWE, knowing a third failed drugs test would mean Jeff would be fired and would lose out on merchandise and the demographic fans that Jeff attracted, i.e. kids, casual wrestling fans, and teenage girls? At the moment, with Jeff, I have mixed emotions, but do feel that he was handed a second chance, which not a lot of wrestlers used to get, and he blew it. I feel sorry that WWE pushed him so hard and basically bit the hand that feeds him. I know that giving up any drug is hard, but it's such a shame to see someone who seemed to have his life sorted out, sorted his drug demons, and WWE rewarded him with a run as WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That's Lillian Jones, who wrote in on radio and online, worldofwrestling.com. Another email from Renee DePriel. None of us should be surprised about Jeff Hardy. He is a great performer in the ring, but it's obvious to me he has a drug problem, either if it is selling the stuff or using. Hopefully someone will step up and put him in rehab clinic. Thanks, R. DePriel. Another email, this from Keith Morrison. Jeff Hardy's recent arrest might be good news. We've lost so many wrestlers and entertainers in general over the past number of years for a number of different reasons, many of which are directly or indirectly related to drug use and abuse. Hopefully, this is one guy who will get the help he and so many others need to have needed. It's too bad it had to go this far, but this might be what he needs. I wish him the best. Zeb Montague, Keith Morrison, I'm sorry. And that's a good... that's a good email right there from Keith. He basically said it's great that he got arrested, or it's great that it's been found out and publicly mentioned, because maybe he can get the help that he needs now and everybody can push and push and push. But it didn't really help Scott Hall now, did it? Everybody knew about this, and everybody tried to help Scott Hall. It really didn't help. It's also reports that the WWE tried to help Jeff Hardy out, and did he refuse rehabilitation? The WWE's offer to get help, send him to rehab? I know Kurt Angle refused it. Remember that article that came out a couple of months back?
Yeah.
So maybe Jeff is refusing. And there's an article out from, I think it was the Fayetteville Observer. This chick, Jennifer Calhoun, the staff writer for that newspaper in North Carolina, said it was a tip that got the police suspicious about Jeff Hardy. That's what led to this whole arrest. Apparently, the officers received this tip, went to the home of Jeff Hardy, and that's where they found all this paraphernalia, cocaine, opium, whatever it was. They found it there. I don't know who this tip came from, but could it possibly been a family member? Another wrestler who is concerned with Jeff Hardy?
Oh, I definitely think that's a possibility.
It's definitely a possibility. Here's another email. This from Christopher Alderman. He said, I really can't say much about the issue. I just hope he gets the much-needed help that he needs to get over this situation. We want to hear from you, your emails, and also your voicemails at 866-543-OWW0, 866-543-6990 on this issue involving Jeff Hart. The email address is Jeff Hart. What the hell did I say Jeff Hart for? Jeff Hardy. The email address is radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. All right, enough about Jeff Hardy. We got Robert and Pam Soley coming up here to talk about the Soley Chronicles coming up here on OWW Radio. But before we get to that, we'll take a quick break, come back with some headline news that just happened today. Breaking news, if you will, involving Ric Flair and also Jeff Hardy. More news on Jeff Hardy and what his future might be with a specific promotion. We'll talk about it coming up next here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com. All right, 866-543-6990, radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. Kurt Angle is in the news, everybody. Angle gets almost all charges dropped. District Court Judge Carla Swearingen dropped all charges against Kurt Angle today from his arrest on 8/15. Angle was cleared of harassment charges related to ex-girlfriend Tanisha Biggers, as well as the charges of driving with a suspended license and possession of human growth hormones. The latter charge was dropped when Angle was able to produce a prescription for the drug as it was part of an ongoing therapy for his neck injury. Angle is still facing a simple assault charge filed by Biggers in Moon Township. So there you go. Kurt Angle gets almost all of the charges dropped from that 8/15 arrest, man. So good news for Kurt Angle.
I knew she was lying.
Yeah, right, Aaron.
Hey, look up on the friggin' archives of OWW Radio. I was always saying she's lying and all this crap.
Yeah, you and I both were all over Kurt Angle on this. But
hey,
it's all good.
Look it up.
Yeah, I will. All right, another news. Dave Meltzer, our Wrestling Observer newsletter. After 3 days of intense negotiations and months of on and off talks, man, Ric Flair has signed a 3-year deal with Hogan's new promotion. You guys hear about this story? Ric Flair signing a 3-year deal with the Hulkamania promotion that will debut with a November tour of Australia. Flair will be Hogan's main opponent on the announced dates, which are 11/21 in Melbourne, 11/24 in Perth, 11/26 in Brisbane, and 11/28 in Sydney, Australia, man. The deal also includes plans for episodes of a joint Hogan Flair reality show to be shot on the tour. What the hell is that about, a reality show?
I don't know.
The promotion...
All Hogan needs is another show.
Yeah, exactly. Or more news involving him or something that's going wrong in his life. Did you hear about the lawyer incident? He's going to sue his lawyers?
No.
Yeah, man. Apparently, his lawyers didn't tell him about Progressive Insurance, which is his insurance company. When the whole Nick Hogan crash happened a couple of years back, I guess a Progressive gave Hogan the opportunity. But Hogan didn't know this, mind you. They gave Hogan the opportunity to use one of their attorneys to represent him and his family. But, of course, his attorneys didn't let Hogan in on any of this because I guess they wanted the money themselves.
Right.
So Hogan's like, man, I call foul on these people. I'm suing you guys. Why didn't you tell me about Progressive offering me an attorney that they're going to pay for? Meanwhile, I'm paying you millions of dollars to represent me. Hogan finds out later, much later down the line, and Hogan's all pissed off about the whole situation. It's kind of jacked up, if you ask me. But here's the thing. Why wouldn't Hogan go to Progressive first? Because aren't you taught that in driving school? If you get into a car accident or anything that's that the charges are well over a certain amount of money or damages, you're supposed to call your insurer, right? You're supposed to call that person.
Yeah.
But Hogan didn't do that. He calls an attorney. So it's kind of his fault, too.
Yeah, I guess he was thinking at the time he was probably more worried about the police charges than he was the the insurance paying for whatever and damages. I would have called the insurance company right away.
Man, you're supposed to.
I wouldn't have even bought a car that expensive to begin with.
The promotion, we're talking about the Hulkamania Eric Bischoff promotion that's touring in Australia. Get this. The promotion has contacted a number of recent departures from WWE. To round out the crew, get this. Jeff Hardy has been mentioned. Although nothing has been signed yet involving Hardy, and even if he's going to be free to roam the real estate, but his name has been bounced around. Of course, Hogan's friends from the 80s, like the Nasty Boys, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, has been thrown around. The plan is to run a regular foreign tour. Hogan and Eric Bischoff have been talking about the idea for years, but with both Hogan and Ric Flair going through expensive divorces, it made it a lot easier for both of them to commit on the project. Here's my deal. Flair is so much out there, man. Why did he leave Ring of Honor? Of course, the WWE pretty much said, "We want you," but never put him on TV. And I don't even know if he's with the company still. Is he? I don't know what's going on. Why did he leave Ring of Honor?
The funny thing is, first thing that popped into my head when I read that he was doing the Hogan Bischoff thing is, what makes them think they can trust him? Pay him a sum of money and he's even going to show up.
I know. Who would trust Ric Flair right about now? And how in the hell are they paying for Ric Flair? How are they paying for Hulk Hogan?
It's Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan. That tell you anything?
Not really. Other than the fall of WCW, man.
With the knees that they're throwing out there, I don't see this working.
No, it's not going to work.
Hogan's...
When was the last time a TV show with Hulk Hogan worked?
I like the celebrity championship wrestling. It didn't work.
I like that, too. I thought that was pretty good.
It was good. Get this. Hogan's a big draw. Flair's a big draw. Hardy, if he's free, he's a big draw. Where are they getting the dough to pay for all these huge talents? Those three. where are they going to get this money? If they're not coming over here in the States, which is arguably the wealth machine, right?
Right.
Where are they getting this money? They're not going to do pay-per-views. They're just going to do this tour. And I guess it is a reputable a full-out promotion. How many fans?
I don't know how they're funding it.
How many fans are they planning on attracting with this? And is it going to be enough to sustain these huge contracts? A 3-year contract for Ric Flair? When Ric Flair was with Ring of Honor, he was getting well over 6 figures, wasn't he?
I don't know what he was getting.
All right.
But I'm sure they've agreed to some big money for him.
Yeah. 866-543-6990, 866-543-6990, or radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. What else is in the news? Let's see. Get this. MMA news. Out of Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas, Nevada, Brock Lesnar has faced some of the best heavyweight fighters in the world. The Ultimate Fighting Championship heavyweight title holder dominated seasoned veteran Heath Herring and put away former UFC champion Randy Couture and Frank Mir on Saturday, November 21st. Lesnar will have to pick on someone his own size. That's what they're saying when he takes on the undefeated 6'3", 262-pound top contender Shane Carwin at UFC 106. Lesnar first Carwin live from the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Also on the card, one of the brightest stars in UFC history returns as former light heavyweight champion Tito Ortiz battles UFC Hall of Famer Mark Coleman in what promises to be a ground war of epic promotions. Brock Lesnar has been tearing through everyone over the last year, said UFC President Dana White. But in Shane Carwin, he's not only fighting someone as big as he is, he's fighting someone who has ended all of his fights in less than 3 minutes. This is literally the biggest heavyweight title fight ever and may also be the most explosive. Get this. The tickets for the UFC 106 priced at $1,000, $750, $500, $300, $200, and $100, not including applicable service charges. Go on sale Saturday, September 19 at noon at all the Las Vegas Ticketmaster locations. To charge by phone with a major credit card, just call Ticketmaster. Tickets are also available for purchase at UFC.com. There you go. Brock Lesnar and Carwin set for UFC 106 live at the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Looking forward to that, Dave?
I'd like to see that, yeah. No way I'd go see that live, not with those ticket prices.
Yeah, no kidding. $1,000, that's probably right up there. You probably get some snot or some spit thrown your way.
Yeah, you get something on you,
all right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with you want to do match of the week here, Aaron? We'll come back, do match of the week.
Sure.
Then get ready for Rob and Pam Allen, man. It's the Soli Chronicles coming up next here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. The Hero says, with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Nick
Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
OWW Radio.
All right, Aaron Kendrick, match of the week, last week. Aaron, go for it, man.
All right, man, we're going to do things a little bit different this time. We're not going to have any runner-ups or anything. We're going to go straight into it. Last week, we got MVP and Jericho for match of the week, Monday Night Raw. It was an opener for The Price is Raw or whatever. Did any one of you catch that?
Yeah, I saw a little glimpse on it when I was watching SmackDown, and I'm glad I didn't watch
Raw?
It. Well, no, I told you. I saw when they did the Raw rebound on SmackDown, I saw when Barker came out.
Yeah, I caught some of it, Aaron. The promos were okay, but it was a stupid concept for wrestling.
With Barker being there, I'm glad I didn't watch. But I got a lot of reports saying that he didn't do a bad job. Brad emailed me and said
he did good promos.
Yeah, Brad emailed me and said he did a good job. He thought he felt he did a good job, and also you, Dave, you said he didn't do a bad job as well.
Yeah, I thought he did great.
But anyway, we got the opener match last week on Raw for the match of the week, which was very surprising to me. When was the last time you ever saw an opener on Raw last over 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And it wasn't just some slap fest or something with the Divas. Mm. Like, there was a lot of fan participation, too, like the matches with TNA had been being. Mm. There was a lot of fan participation, especially towards the ending of the match. I don't know if they were happy to see it ending or what, but
I don't know if you guys saw a breaking point at all, but I can actually see Mark Henry and MVP as tag team champions. They didn't do a bad job in that match at Breaking Point, so I guess it just rolled over from Monday Night Raw. They have very good chemistry, and MVP is really starting to impress me. At first, when he was over SmackDown, I didn't too much. Go for it, that whole gimmick of balling, all that crap, and being the highest paid athlete in WWE history or whatever the hell that gimmick was. But he's kind of like growing on me a little bit, and Jericho is obviously going to make anybody he gets in the ring with shine. Look what he's doing with Big Show, carrying him, that's for sure.
Big Show now, Big Show's nothing but just a big walking flab of fat.
Yeah.
Like he's not a very good athlete anymore. I mean, you know, back in his WCW days, he could do a little bit, but now he's out of shape.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely gonna. That feud is definitely gonna be around for a while because there's not many tag teams in the WWE that are doing very well. So Mark Henry, MVP, Chris Jericho, and Big Show. I like to believe that feud's going to be going on for quite a while, and those two are going to meet up again. All right, 866-543-6990, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com for your candidates for the match of the week. We've got Robert and Pam Allen on the line as we speak, ready for their interview. It's the Soli Chronicles. We're going to be talking to them shortly here. Let's take a quick break, come back, get them on the line, make sure we got a good connection with them. Here on OWW Radio, again, the telephone number is 866-543-6990, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
OWW Radio.
Available now from Howard Fine Touch Productions is Sculpted by Choice, a training documentary about James Coyer, a natural bodybuilder who is actively pursuing a WWE developmental deal. A former Mr. Natural California, James Coyer has devoted his life to bodybuilding and teaching the benefits to others. Share his passion for training and healthy eating and be inspired as you see his intense workouts. Learn the muscle building tips that build his physique and go behind the curtain as he prepares for the competition stage at a bodybuilding contest. This DVD is loaded with tips on how to build muscle. James Coyer is currently a professional bodybuilder with two natural drug tested organizations and is training to become a pro wrestler with the goal to get signed by WWE and be a part of the developmental program to further his skills so he can one day wrestle on WWE TV. James is an inspiration to anyone seeking to improve their physique and live a healthy lifestyle. This DVD is available now for only $12 at themartygiannettistory.com. Sculpted by Choice, available now at themartygiannettistory.com.
Nick Anthony.
All right, 866-543-6990, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. That is the email address. Nick Anthony at OWW Radio. With us this evening is Robert and Pamela Allen, along with editor Scott Teal. are the co-authors of the book, The Sully Chronicles, The Life and Times of Gordon Sully, available now from Crowbar Press. Here they are, Robert and Pelba Alla. Thanks for joining us here on OWW Radio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome, and it's good to be on.
Absolutely, man. Now, Pamela, you're the daughter of Gordon Sully, right?
Yes.
Growing up, how much of your father as a performer did you see, and were you a fan of the whole spectacle of professional wrestling?
As a performer, when he read stories and told stories, and then other than that, he was just my dad.
Right.
I know that sounds crazy, but that's how it was. That's how I saw him.
I find it interesting how you guys can just say, you know, he's just my dad. I asked Dory Funk, the same question. He's like, oh, well, it was just my dad growing up. I'm like, these are legends.
Yeah, you know, he's just my dad. I didn't see him in that celebrity status, so that, you know.
Going to the track and imagine.
I did go with him to the racetrack quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Went to the matches quite a bit. That kind of stuff, and to the radio station, mm-hmm. and but he was still my dad.
You're right. Now, Robert, were you a fan of professional wrestling, and more specifically, Gordon Sully, growing up?
When I was growing up, the only thing I was a fan of was like amateur wrestling, because I had friends, and I was an athlete, and I had friends in high school that were high school wrestlers, and had guys on my floor in the dorm in college that were college wrestlers, but. Our wrestling in the Midwest, this is outside Chicago,
mm-hmm.
didn't particularly interest me. I might see the Bruiser or the Crusher once in a while, but it wasn't until I was dating Pam. In fact, it was hilarious because she told me your dad is a TV announcer in Florida. And
right.
We're both in Illinois at the time, and we met in college. And I said, well, that's really cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, yeah, he announces professional wrestling. And I'm like, oh, okay, because it didn't mean much to me in those days. Well, when we went to Florida, you know, I found out that Gordon was a big deal.
Absolutely.
I mean, you walk around the street and people run up to him, you know, all over where we're at. Mr. Sully, can I have your autograph? Can I have your autograph? I'm like, and this guy, he has gold on, nice clothes, Mercedes, beautiful home. And I'm like, this guy's a wrestling announcer, right? So I tuned in one day with Pam, and kind of cool because he said congratulated us on his marriage on the show,
mm-hmm.
and we were staying in a beach on a hotel in our hotel for honeymoon,
uh-huh.
and like I said, I became a Gordon Sully fan. I'm like, I would start believing everything came out of his mouth, so I started watching Championship Wrestling from Florida. I was hooked. I was a Sully fan.
Yeah, absolutely, badass. Now,
he got me good, you know.
Yeah. Now this isn't the first book the two of you have collaborated on about Sully. You also had Something Left Behind, which was released in 05, I believe, right? Am I correct with that?
Yes.
All right. Both books take the form of a scrapbook of Sully's personal writings, poems, and remembrance from colleagues of that nature. What made you decide to go that route in writing these books as opposed to a straight biography?
Okay, well, when we were first starting out, Pam inherited Gordon's writings,
mm-hmm.
and we started putting together stuff she had from in his writing files, stuff she had from herself, her mom, her grandmother, her aunt,
mm-hmm.
and we ended up with about 1,500 files.
Wow.
And we decided the first thing we'd do is publish his short stories and poetry, and that's what we did with Something Left Behind, and that was also a promise Pam made to him when he was dying, that she'd publish his writings.
Wow.
The second one is his biography. This goes into his childhood, his career, everything.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a biography. So there is a distinct difference. The first one is his memoirs, more or less, his short stories and his poetry, with a lot of photos. And we had like 160 pictures in there.
Okay.
And the second one is a true biography.
All right.
We knew it would take longer, too, when we got this thing together, because we ended up with about 1,900 files numbered for research on Gordon. And some of those files, one may have one item. One may have 75 racing photos. Another one may have 12 wrestling photos. So there's might be 3,000 or 4,000 objects in 1,900 files. So, yeah, it took about 7.5 years to do his biography.
Robert and Pamela Allen, co-authors of the book, The Sully Chronicles, joining us here on OWW Radio, 866-543-6990. Robert and Pamela Allen, on OWW Radio. Now, the first book focused a lot on Gordon's days in radio as well.
Yes, it did.
His time in the U.S. Air Force and some of his personal interests like stock car racing. You mentioned it before, poetry, in addition to his time as a pro wrestling announcer. The second book, will that be an extension of the same topics or future? What are the future new materials in the Chronicles here?
There's quite a bit on his youth. I mean, the first thing that Pam really dug into his Gordon's youth. I mean, she knows, he talks about his parents, his grandparents, his sister when she's born, what it was like when he was growing up as a kid, what he did as a kid, when he got into trouble in his youth with the law and was incarcerated for a while. And so it's at that part there, you know, there's not much mention of his youth in the first book, other than a picture of him, you know, sitting there on a couch.
A brief description of, you know, when he was born and what name he had, et cetera. Like, it was just brief. It was just not meant to be a tell-all. I mean, this is more in-depth.
Okay.
It's, you know, it goes from when he was in radio, how he got involved in stock car racing, how he got into wrestling, how he met Cowboy Luttrell, and Eddie Graham got into the picture, and how that whole scenario developed in Florida. Not only just his involvement, but how the business changed and the technology, how they filmed it, some of the matches they filmed, some of them that they would have liked to film, but they either the film, one of the good matches in there, one film ran out of film, and the other one was being changed at the time, so they never got the end of the match on film in those days. So,
In the very beginning, Tom McEwen, who was one of my dad's really close friends, he's a retired sports editor for the Tampa Tribune, he said, if you're going to do a biography, tell the good with the bad. And we took his advice, and it's an adventure, but it's also, it goes into the, you know, behind the scenes type stuff. So, I mean, people will understand the business itself. I mean, I think that's important, all by, you know, because it's got a history. It's not just WWE. There's a history that goes all the way back.
We got pretty, overall, we had favorable reviews on the first book that people wanted to know more behind the scenes stuff, more about Gordon as a person, more about his life, and that's what this will give them. They want to buy this is a true biography. It is, and it's the first one was not, like I said, it was more memoirs.
Okay.
This is a biography, so distinct. They're two separate animals and totally different.
A lot of good stories from a lot of good people.
Now, a lot of Solis colleagues, you guys contact people like Harley Race, Dory Funk, guests from OWW Radio, Bruno Lauer, Larry Zbyszko, even Mike Tenay, you guys, Jim Ross, Lance Russell. What was the initial reaction when you contacted these people and their thoughts on Soli, and what was the overall attitude of the people involved?
A lot of them, it's like, if, you know, Jim Ross was so close, Mike Tenay had an admiration for Gordon, it's like, whatever I can do to help.
Wow.
You know?
Okay.
And that's really cool. Plus, we met a lot of these guys. Harley Race, you know, I can pick up the phone tomorrow and say hi to him because, number one, we met him at the Tampa Wrestling Reunion, saw him and his wife over a period of a couple of days, and we saw him at WrestleMania and the World Wrestling, WWE's 2008 Hall of Fame ceremony. And so we've developed a rapport on him. Jack Briscoe's been to our house for lunch. You know, we met him out for lunch. He brought his wife over one day, but they were really close. So these guys are really, I mean, it was almost overwhelming, the just sheer reverence they have for Gordon. Some of them, it was a little strange. I'd be on the phone and like, who are you? And I'd start telling them, and they'd warm up a little bit, and all of a sudden we were pals. So
right.
Depends whether you're calling them cold, and they answer phone and say, hi, this is Bob Allen, you know, Gordon Sully's son-in-law, you know, we're doing a book, yada, yada, yada. And they were still cool. But if I got a referral to them, like somebody said, oh, well, yeah, you ought to call so-and-so while you're at it, you know? And I said, sorry, if I told them, you tell me to call them, they'd say, sure. And they'd give me a phone number I otherwise wouldn't get.
Right.
One of the fears, I think, when these guys that have been used to being celebrities in their career, when they get phone calls from strangers, you know, they're wondering, like, well, is this somebody going to call me every day of the week and bug me and harass me? Or, you know, the guy's going to be cool about it, call me maybe once and we'll talk, and if necessary, a follow-up, and then, you know, leave me alone. So they were, overall, they were outstanding, just wonderful.
They're like family. They're all real close.
Now, what are some of your favorite Solis stories in this book? I'll go to you, Pamela.
well, without giving anything away.
Right.
I enjoyed Dad's piece with Johnny Valentine. Hmm. Seeing how good I'm going to be, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, you're going to make
it. I'm not going to tell you.
That's good.
The deflated seat, that's a good one.
Wow.
Wow.
We can tell my one.
Yeah, well, go ahead. You can.
That's a Thatcher story.
Okay.
He wanted to demonstrate how quick Gordon was. In early days in Georgia Championship Wrestling, Gordon co-hosted with Les Thatcher.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to sit in these adjustable chairs, and they were filled with air. And they were sitting there doing the show one day, and they had a pretty big platform and at one time where two or three guys could sit there.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon's chair started leaking air.
Okay.
And Les said, you know, this guy never missed a beat. And he said, just before Gordon's head disappeared underneath the podium, Gordon turned and said, that's how I see it from my viewpoint. Back to you, Les. So that's one of the stories the guys told in the book.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Gordon was more like one of the guys than just an announcer. And he drank with him, he partied with him, and most of them have a drinking story about Gordon, and there's quite a few of those in there, too. That was the thing that I think they were one of the reasons, going back to your other question, mm-hmm. why they were willing to talk to us. He was one of the guys.
Okay.
And then seeing them in person and meeting them at different wrestling events, that helped a lot, too.
They were a tight-knit group.
Robert and Pamela Allen, co-authors of the Sully Chronicle here on OWW Radio. Now, is there more information about Sully in his private files, or did you spill everything in the last couple of books, Something Left Behind and now the Sully Chronicles?
Oh, I know what you're saying. Is there more?
Is there more? Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
You have to tune in next week.
Okay, same bat channel, same bat.
Yeah.
Do you guys follow the current professional wrestling scene? What do you guys think of it? If you guys do, how do you think it goes
in stages? I know when we were first starting this, and it's funny. I think they had Monday Night Raw, and in those days SmackDown was on Thursday nights,
mm-hmm.
and they had a phenomenal roster. I mean, you had The Rock and Shawn Michaels. You mm-hmm. had, Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, all these guys. And on those nights when they were on, we would take a break because the dining room table and part of the living room was covered with files and folders, and we're organizing and writing.
Yeah. Right.
And she'd make chocolate chip cookies both nights, and we'd sit there and have some chocolate chip cookies and watch WWE.
With a glass of milk.
Okay. Yeah. And we were really into it like anybody else, you know.
Right.
The Undertaker was there. Like I said, Hogan still made appearances. I mean, mm-hmm. what a group of talent together.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, and now we were so busy, there's hardly time to watch it. I followed TNA more lately than anything.
Oh, all right.
And we've met some of those guys. Mick Foley's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's an absolute riot. So I taped those on the DVR.
Yeah,
and
right.
Probably my favorite two things to do today would be to turn in and listen to Jim Ross.
Okay.
Yes.
And then I like listening to Mike Tenay, you know, on TNA. And I followed their storyline. And I think Angle is one of the best wrestlers out there still. You know.
Wow.
One thing when he's with the microphone, but if he's working in the ring, that man can wrestle.
And he has hair now. Actually, he has hair.
You featured him recently yourself,
back?
Didn't you, in a story?
What do you guys think your father would feel about the promotions like WWE and TNA? What do you guys think he would say about the promotions now? Even the little guys like Ring of Honor.
Gordon was not in favor at the end of his career of all the changes that were taking place. He grew up announcing matches that took an hour mm-hmm. to perform. The guys were in the ring for an hour, 45 minutes, half an hour in a preliminary match. And that part he loved because he could just tell the story. The corporate part, he got sick of that when he was with WCW because, you know, it was different. They'd hand him a script. And all his life, he'd gone there with a program and a couple of notes. Sometimes he'd get off an airplane, and you know, he'd get to the show when they're playing the opening song, and nobody told him anything. He'd just go out and call the match.
Wow.
So I think if he could be involved, Gordon would be involved announcing. But he would prefer to announce one where he could actually just call it the way he saw it rather than reading a script. So that part didn't sit well with him. But not much would surprise him. He knew in 1984 that Vince McMahon was the guy, and he said then, you know, he's watch out for this guy. He's going to make a big impact on professional wrestling like you've never seen.
He said he'd take it to a different level.
Wow.
And he did.
He certainly did. Had he mentioned anything to you guys about being talked to in his ear? Because currently, over in the WWE, there's been reports that Vince McMahon or writers, whomever it may be, talks in their ears a lot on what to say, play-by-play commentary, what have you. Did he ever mention anything like that happening in his career?
He didn't know the story end. He didn't know. He told the story as it happened.
Oh, I see.
So okay. He didn't know the outcome.
One of the most phenomenal things about Gordon Solie in championship wrestling from Florida, championship wrestling for Georgia, Continental, different promotions he was working in, before the big corporation, a corporate age, was they didn't fill Gordon in on the angles. He had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Marvez says in the book, about Gordon, people often felt like they were seeing things unfold at the same time Gordon was, and
they were.
Most times that was true. They were seeing it when he did.
So are you guys saying that what we're seeing now, these play-by-play, the commentators, the announce team, the broadcasters, they know the outcome of the matches now?
I would assume so. It's up to the different promotions, obviously, whoever's running it, but that's been one of the changes in the industry, as far as I understand. And even in the old days, a guy that was announcing was probably one of the promoters himself or the promoter's son,
right,
or something.
Right, okay.
Because it was a family, they were family-owned business, so you'd assume normally they would know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's giving the belt up tonight, they knew about it. Gordon didn't.
Wow. What are some
he
of your...
He didn't feel those... I mean, it kind of pushed his credibility. If he didn't know what was going on and he could tell it to the fans as it was happening, he was into it. It was like reading a comic book. He didn't know the next page until he turned and read it.
But then, you know, you go to a pay-per-view and late in his career, and here's a 20-page script with everybody's lines, you know?
He didn't like the script.
Yeah. Hmm. What genre of radio was he involved with? Was it talk?
Jazz. Country.
Mm-hmm.
Sports announcing.
Some classical, believe it or not.
Mm.
He's very eclectic on that. But whatever they needed him to fill into, he loved music. You know, that was his other thing.
Mm.
And sports.
It was cool to walk into a radio station and watch him just jump behind the glass and do the sports news. And he'd come out and we'd go somewhere else, you know.
I have one tape of him where he's doing a commercial for, I think it was a Loki Oldsmobile in Pinellas County, and it's the takes that he did on it, and you have, I don't know, what, 60 seconds, maybe 30 seconds? I don't even know how long a radio spot commercial is,
mm-hmm.
but practicing it, and on the third shot, he had it.
Wow.
I mean, it was phenomenal. I mean, I'd play it back and go, okay, you could tell where he slipped up on one, but the second time, got better, and third time, it was perfect.
Flawless, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, to be in the Tampa area and hear radio come on and hear Gordon doing a promotion for a wrestling event coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one I heard when I was growing up in the Chicago area. It was like these guys said, Sunday at Oswego Speedway, beautiful Oswego. You know, it was the loudest thing you've ever heard of, but it made an impression on you. You knew exactly who it was and what they were doing.
Right.
That was the way Gordon was in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. When his voice was heard on radio for a radio promotion, I mean, you knew it was Gordon Solie. You knew he was talking about championship wrestling from Florida.
Wow. Robert and Pamela Allen, co-authors of the Solie Chronicles here on OWW Radio. Do you have any other books planned for the future? I know you said we got to tune in, same bat channel, same bat time. But can you spill any beans for us? Anything on the horizon after this?
Well, we were just talking today about the fact that the biography of Gordon, the Solie Chronicles, is... probably something we could tackle for a screenplay for a movie.
Ooh, wouldn't that be interesting?
That would probably be something we might lean towards.
The book is The Solie Chronicles, The Life and Times of Gordon Solie. It's available now through Crowbar Press. All copies ordered through Crowbar Press will be signed by all three writers, Pamela Allen, the daughter of Gordon Solie and her husband Robert Allen, as well as Crowbar Press editor Scott Teal. You can visit them at crowbarpress.com. Robert and Pamela, I want to thank you for coming on OWW Radio.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Anytime
we can get on and talk Gordon Solie and wrestling stories, well, that's a treat.
Sure. I would love to have you guys back on, too, to talk more stories about this. Robert and Pamela Allen here on OWW Radio. We'll be right back.
OWW Radio.
This is Robert Allen.
And Pam Allen.
And you're listening to OWW Radio.